Ezekiel 46:9 says something to all of us as worshipers when he was speaking to the people about coming into the house of the Lord. It says this: when the people came to worship, when they come to worship the Lord at any time, at any festival, those who come in by the north gate must leave by the south gate after they have worshipped. And those who enter the south gate are to leave the north gate. No one may go out by the same way he entered, but must leave the opposite way. How beautiful is that? What a beautiful, beautiful spiritual parallel to all of us. Even back in the time of the Old Testament, in the time of the temple, when Ezekiel prophesied and the word of the Lord came to him, it was for the instructions for us today. When you come into this house one way, you're to leave another way. Whether you leave the same door or not, it's a matter of the door of our hearts being transformed and changed by the Spirit of God. We can't possibly, when we enter into the presence of God, leave this house the same way. Amen? Amen. So please stand with us today as we worship. God, we thank you in Jesus' name for your presence in this house. God, we are here today to give you honor and glory, for you alone are worthy of our praise. Amen, church. So God, I pray for transformation in our lives, in our minds, in our spirits, in our souls, in every part of our being. God, I pray that our focus will be on you and will be transformed. And we come in the one gate, we will leave differently because we've been in the presence of the house of the Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing with us. Stand.
So what? house, but I thought it was so fitting to read it again with the declaration that we just made singing this morning, that we will stand firm with our arms high and our heart abandoned. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. Sing that one more time. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all.
go into this next song, I feel I should remind all of us how we started the service about how we're to be transformed when we come into the house, leave a different way. I think one of the things that maybe keeps us from fully entering in is to begin to focus on our failures, focus on the weak, to focus on where we've fallen short today. I'm reminded of the words of the Lord, there is none that is righteous, no, not one. We are made righteous by Him, and to Him we owe gratitude. Amen. Not having a righteousness of my own, it's obtained through the law, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ received by grace alone. Amen. Give Him your gratitude as we sing this next song.
here right now. The Spirit of God is here right now. The confession of our hearts right now is I receive it. What is it? What is it that you've been carrying? What is it that's first and foremost in your heart right now? What have you been carrying? Some of you have been carrying stuff for many, many years. And I feel like God wants you to know that the Spirit of God is here right now to heal that. You know, the song says, "Come on, my soul, don't you get shy. Lift up your hands. If I remember correctly, it's in the Word that it was songs of praise within a jail cell that opened them.
Amen.
There is a lion inside of your lungs. First of all, we need to believe that. Nothing on this earth that is going to fix what's happened to you. Nothing. Nothing on this earth. There is no person that will ever say the exact right thing that's going to heal that wound that never goes away in your heart. It is only the spoken word of God that can heal the soul. It is only the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. It's only His resurrection and the power of the Spirit that's been given to the church that you can be healed. It's already been paid for. Your pain has already been paid for. That's why we sing He is worthy. That's why we exalt Him. That's why we open up our mouth in praise. Because, you know, how many of you can feel like the keyboard the last couple weeks is like a battering ram? I mean, I've been in this church for 25 years, but I can tell you right now, the Spirit of God wants every part of your soul yielded to Him. So much so that there's a battering ram, there's an anointing on the keyboard that is knocking at your heart. Receive it. You say, how do I do that? God, I receive what you're doing. God, I receive everything that you are doing in the name of Jesus. You know, even there's vibration in, like, obviously sound. But sometimes there's an anointing on vibration. You're just going to have to trust me. Anointing in this house right now to heal your heart. Do you want it? God, we receive what you're doing. You may not even know what God is doing. Most of the time you don't. You just receive the anointing in the room. You respond to Him. You respond to the Father's heart. And I can tell you right now, just say, God, I receive what you're doing. Spirit of God, I want more of you. Come in and heal my soul. I'm tired of lagging behind in my life because I'm dragging my soul day after day after day of the same old thing. Thank you. Make a confession of faith that you've received what you pressed in for. Hallelujah.
Great worship. Wow. It's just so great to be in the house of the Lord and just give him all the glory, all the praise. I said it, I think, last week, and I think it deserves repeating again. Hebrews chapter 13 talks about lifting up the sacrifice of praise. We can easily overlook the fact that that's one of the sacrifices that we give today as believers. It's a sacrifice of praise. You say, why is it a sacrifice? Well, sometimes because our thoughts might be on other things and our emotions might be on other things. And when we come into the house of the Lord one way and we know the word of the Lord says that we're going to leave a different way, one of those ways that we do that is lifting up our praise despite the fact that we have everything else going on in life. He becomes the priority where he needs to be every day anyway, right? And we put all things aside and he becomes the praise. It's the sacrifice of praise. Amen? Amen. Come on. It's okay. It is okay. And God is glorified. That's why in John chapter 4, when Jesus is ministering to the woman at the well, she says to him, you know, your people say that you need to worship in Jerusalem, but we in Samaria, we worship on this mountain. And Jesus responds to her, he said, woman, a day is coming and now is when you won't worship him in Jerusalem or on this mountain or any other way, for God is seeking worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth, because God is spirit. I hope your excitement isn't drained from you from that worship, because I want you to be excited about the word of the Lord. Amen. We continue on in this series, Trust the Plan. This started in June. We've been all the way from Genesis into the Old Testament. We'll be there sometime today and then into the New Testament. And now we're coming towards the end of this, I believe the end of this series. As I said last week, these last couple installments or messages are not a complete study of the book of Revelation. In fact, it doesn't even scratch the surface. But I'm mindful of something as I study for this every week and just really press into the word of the Lord. And now we see things in the word of the Lord that tell us what the earth will look like in the last days. And I believe that we happen to be living in those days. We're seeing these things unfold right before our very eyes. Fascinating, fascinating things taking place. But in the book of Revelation, John writes this in chapter 10. He says, I saw a mighty angel descending, and he stood aside, he put one foot on the land, and he put up one foot on the sea, and he raised his hands to the heavens, to him who raised on high. And he says, the time will be no more. This is going to be the end. This is going to consummate the age. And then the angel speaks to him, and he says these words. Chapter 10, verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking to me and saying, go, take the book. He saw a book in this vision with this angel, which is in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. And I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. And it will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. Then he said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. It seems confusing. What does he mean by that? I believe without question, what he means by that is these times, these end times and the revelations and the prophetic words that we can study, and even that John was given on the island of Patmos, in some ways they're enticing, in some ways they're exciting, and it's so amazing to be able to, you know, the word of the Lord says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the duty of the kings to search his word out and figure out what it means. And so it's fascinating. But when we get right down to it, it begins to sink into our stomach, we begin to realize what the world will be facing someday in the very near future. It gives us that bitter sense in our stomach, like, God, I want my children to not to be part of that. And I see these plagues that are coming upon the earth and how difficult those times are going to be. And God, I don't want anyone to experience those things, but clearly your word says some will. So as we continue on, I will once again underscore this message as a teaching message. In fact, you will see that I will speak almost completely from the screen today, because I'm bringing scriptures that are going to be talking specifically leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to allow the Word of God to teach us, and I want to... I do enjoy this series, but I'll be glad when it's done, because, again, this isn't really my style, but I know without question these things are important for us, and as we learn together, I believe it's going to help all of us on our studies to understand the things on the world landscape, what's taking place, and how it fits so beautifully into the Word of God. These things are not surprising when you know the Word of the Lord. In fact, the things that we're seeing, even interesting this week, we saw that President Trump got Israel and Hamas and other nations to agree to some type of peace accord, at least a ceasefire. And of course, everybody's talking, though, is that what Daniel was talking about? He'll make an agreement with many. And so I really gave that a lot of thought, because whoever's going to be in the peace accord, whether it's this one or whether it's one in the future, we won't know until time goes on. But I was reminded of this, and even I know we're often taught whoever leads that covenant is going to be the Antichrist, but you read the word carefully, all these people will agree and somebody's going to bow out. One of the leaders in that circle of agreement is going to renege on the promise after 3.5 years. They're going to renege, and they're going to renege on Israel. As we've studied already, the Word of God tells us that the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. Do you know that one of the things that prompted, maybe used as an excuse by Hamas on the October 7, 2023 attack on Israel, one of the things that they were concerned about, these people in Israel are bringing in these red cows. You're thinking, what does that mean? But understand that in order to do temple sacrifice, they require the perfect red heifer. Some of you are aware of that. And so this really irked the people in Hamas and the Muslims. Why? Because they're following a satanic doctrine, and the enemy knows that when this begins to take place, that the temple will be rebuilt, and many of God's people will begin to be redeemed, and there's going to be a revival in the land of Israel and really across the face of the earth in those last days. And Satan's doing everything that he can, because he hates God, he hates God's agenda, he hates God's people, he hates the church. And they're trying to stop it, quash it. He'll not succeed, by the way. I got you scared. I could hear a pin drop. Don't be scared. So as I said, if you'll, allow me. You'll have to allow me, because I'm one up here on the platform. But I'm going to have your attention to the screen. And we're going to continue on. As I said, I suspect we may end up concluding this next week, possibly. We'll see how it goes today. And so, Trust the Plan series, we are now in the portion, Days and Years, Times and Seasons. So this is part 8 of this mini vignette of the Trust the Plan series, which started in June. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus' second coming. This is a verse you're familiar with out of Matthew 20, verse 30 and 31. This is Jesus speaking on the Mount of Olives to his disciples in the very last week that he would be alive before he would be crucified and then rise again. He says these words to them, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. In fact, if you know your book of Revelation, that's repeated. John repeats those words in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, though even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will begin to mourn. Well, the tribes specifically are the tribes of Israel. And they're going to begin to mourn because now they realize how much they have scorned their Messiah all these years. And now they're beginning to realize that revival in the land. And then they will finally see the fulfillment of the promises of the Word of God. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. So we have a number of verses we'll be into today. So I'll just call for the next slide, and that's how we're going to proceed today. Those of you, if you didn't get your outline at the Welcome Center, you should get that because we have a couple more installments left. But now we are on the Jesus' second coming. We're going to talk about that. We've been through the church age. We've been through the rapture. One thing I want to underscore here, please do not. We believe in the rapture of the church without question. And so we know that time is coming. We know that the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together. Caught up is in the Greek, it's a harpazo, but in the Latin it's rapturo, and they will be raptured, will be meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, and so we will always be with the Lord. We believe without question that it's a completely different event than what I just read there, which is when Jesus comes at his second coming, and we know that they're separated by a number of years. So I'll just continue on. If you are new to the series, I'll have to have you go back and watch some of the videos, because we are now at Jesus' second coming. So let's go on to this, and we're going to talk a couple things. I will catch you up very quickly. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the heavenly scenes. What's going on during the tribulation? I talked last week. How long is the tribulation? We often hear there's a seven-year period. Well, there is a seven-year period that Daniel, the prophet Daniel, tells us about in chapter 9 of Daniel. We're waiting. But is all of that the great tribulation? And no, it's actually the last 3.5 years. And things taking place in heaven, these are heavenly scenes, during the time of the great tribulation, 3.5 years, the judgment seat of Christ will be taking place. We'll talk more about that today, so I won't spend a lot of time there. And the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you want to know about the judgment seat of Christ, and if you're taking notes, you're going to want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and that will tell you about that. It's also found in Romans chapter 14. So in the marriage supper of the Lamb, we read about that in a number of places in the Bible, that there will be in fact, when Jesus said to his disciples, I'll not eat the bread nor drink this fruit of the cup again till I eat it anew with you in the kingdom. And we believe without question that was also a reference to the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place in heaven with the believers, Old Testament and New Testament. Okay, next screen. Then last week, we talk about the earthly scenes. What's going on this earth during the times of the tribulation? And I broke it down in this way to help us better understand, to help us better remember. We talked about the purpose of the tribulation, the players of the tribulation, and the plagues. I'll go through this very quickly because I want to catch you up and review from last week. The next slide, then, is this, the purpose. This is one that's important because I believe if there's a primary purpose of the tribulation, you know, because I would think that we would often look at, well, is it really number three, just for God to send his judgment down on the earth? If I was to categorize these in order of purpose and priority, I would argue that the number one priority of God is to bring the nation of Israel to a place of repentance, to bring his chosen people back. And I pulled this verse, and we'll go into this later today, the second part of this verse. This is found in the book of Hosea, at the end of chapter 5. This is God, and he is speaking through the prophet Hosea prophetically. He is speaking to the nation of Israel, in fact, very specifically. God says these words, for I will be like a lion to Ephraim. Okay, those are the northern 10 tribes. We know them as Israel in the lingo of the Bible. in like a young lion to the house of Judah. That's the powerful tribe, and that's where Jerusalem is. So you have Israel and you have Judah, and they're all together. They're the Hebrew people. They're the people of God. He says this, though it's not a very good prophetic word to them. He says, I will tear to pieces and go. I'm going to go away. I will carry away, and there will be none to deliver. I will go away and return to my place. When? Until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. To me, I think this is a very clear reference that Jesus is telling them, or the Lord is telling them, when the Messiah comes, he's going to go away until the time of repentance comes upon in the nation of Israel. Until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, I wanted to say something. God is simply always seeking of the people on this planet of repentance. Because we are wired, we are geared, we are prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, the old hymn says. This is how we're born into this culture, this nature of a sin, with a sinful nature. But God is always looking to redeem the people of this earth, and it begins with repentance and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the nation of Israel to a place of repentance, and the other reasons there, to save the Jewish remnant from total annihilation. Jesus says, and if the Son of Man did not return, there'd be no flesh left on the earth. The next is to discipline the earth dwellers. The earth dwellers are non-believers. When you read the book of Revelation, when you see those who dwell on the earth, they're earth dwellers and they're unbelievers. And then to prepare for Jesus Christ to reign upon the earth. I will talk about that more later. Next slide, please. The earthly scenes during the tribulation, now these are the players. I introduced these last week. I want to just remind you who they are. We know the Holy Trinity on the left side, God the Father, Yahweh. Do you know what hallelujah means? Praise Yah. Praise Yah. We sang it earlier, and we'll sing it again at the end of this message, how beautifully that's going to fit. But it means, in the New Testament, that hallelujah is only found in Revelation chapter 19. It's so beautiful because that's where we're going to be today. Good job, Angie. As always. Beautiful. Praise, but this is the truth. Yeah, so this is God the Father, Yahweh, God the Son, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit. In the book of Revelation, you see the unholy trinity, the dragon, Satan. Dinesh D'Souza is coming out with the movie, and some of you may be aware of it. It's this week. And I think it has the word dragon in it, and I think it's the dragon's prophecy. Yeah. So the, and again, don't confuse him with Jonathan Cahn, although they would agree, and I think he even quotes him in his sound bites that I heard. But Dinesh D'Souza, we can't watch. I think it's at the movie theaters Monday night. I'm thinking it was. But we're gonna find a way to download that and watch it. I can't wait to see it. But it's fascinating because Dinesh D'Souza is even saying these words, these things in the Word of God that he says many people think were made up or written after the time. He says they're finding out it's absolutely not. The Word of God is accurate. It was written when it says it was written. These words were given. And when it talks about this dragon, you will begin to see the meaning. It just underscores in real time in 2025 this wickedness, the move of Satan, that only Satan could be working behind the scenes, the cause of evil that is inspiring Hamas to do the wicked things that they did. You don't need to know any more than that. Anyway, the dragon is Satan. The beast is the anti. We know him, often call him the Antichrist. He's the false Christ. And then the false prophet. And then also the two witnesses. These are key players. The two witnesses, those are the ones that will ultimately prophesy for 3.5 years. The Antichrist is very opposed to them. The earth dwellers are opposed to them. And the earth dwellers hate their testimony. Isn't it amazing? Because I believe, again, I said last week, Charlie Kirk, here's a man who was murdered for his faith. He was murdered for his testimony. And when he was murdered, he was celebrated, his death and his murder was celebrated by countless thousands of people across this planet. Why? They didn't even know the man, but they didn't like to hear the testimony. Tell us no more about the Holy One of Israel. Speak to us smooth words. Give us flattering words. I don't want to hear the holy word of the God of Israel, which means to me that I have to repent. I want to do my own thing and live my own life. And it's not for you to say publicly, and this is what we're living in 2025. Two witnesses, and they will be murdered finally after 3.5 years. Their bodies will lay, and they will be disgraced for 3 days in the city of Jerusalem. And people will send gifts to one another, celebrating. They hate them so much that they're going to leave them in the city streets to decay for 3 days. But after 3 days, God raises them up. He puts breath back into their lungs, and he opens the doors of heaven, and they return to heaven. And then 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe. Religious groups will try to, I want to say spiritualize it. They'll try to twist that. The word of God is very clear. There's 12,000 from the tribes of Israel. So those are the players. Next. And then the plagues. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. Those of you who study the book of Revelation, they're not all plagues. Like the seventh seal is actually, when it opens up, it brings forth the seven trumpets. So there's not necessarily 21, but when you see the plagues in the book of Revelation, that's kind of how it's broken down. Okay, so here we are, 7-year tribulation. What's next? Okay, so Jesus' second coming, there's some conditions that are apparent. Number one, they will be apparent before the rapture. You'll see these things, but also during the time of tribulation, these things will continue on. But it's all in the end of age, the end of times. One is, so I'm simply going to take a verse out of that Jesus said, Matthew 24. I'm going to read through 9 through 14 a bit at a time, and you're going to see Jesus is telling us this is what's going to be going on in these last days, leading up to and during the time of tribulation. The first is Christian persecution. Jesus said this, and they will deliver you to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Well, do you see, am I the only one that sees an animosity toward Christianity across the world? Like you say, well, it's always been there. Well, it has always been there. But I'll tell you what, on the world scene, it is becoming so pronounced, and you're seeing dark versus light like there never was before. And now even in this nation, which was founded on Christian principles, without question, on godly principles, we see these principles being attacked. And again, Charlie Kirk is simply a metaphor. He's an example of the type of hatred and animosity that many in this nation have for Christianity, because they hated him for Christian values. It's funny, I want to read this. Dinesh D'Souza said this in his interview, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, when he's talking about this movie, but he says this. He says, so if the Bible is right, you would expect to see in the end times or in the last days an increased hostility towards Jews and increased persecution of Christians. Are we seeing that? Yeah, I mean, you can't even compare that I know any time in history worldwide for sure of what we're seeing today. Even on our college campuses, they simply hate the Jews. They've been trained to hate the Jews. They've been inspired to hate the Jews. And that's not only what we see, but it's coming from, get this, the radical Muslims on the one hand, but also it's coming from the secular left. It's coming from the liberal left as well as the Muslims. Now, those are strange bedfellows. Can I tell you that? In fact, he points that out in his next sentence. He says this, the secular left also hates Israel and they hate Christians. The radical Muslims and the secular left would not seem to have a lot in common, like, what would an LGBTQ guy have in common with the Muslims? He's not going to go over to Gaza. Or if he did, he would die on day one, right? He'd be murdered. And you can't take a bunch of jihadis and put them in an LGBTQ street fair. They're not going to fit in, he says. These are strange bedfellows united by hatred of the Jews and Christians. This is 2025. This is October of 2025, and this is what's taking place. Be ye ready, for at such an hour the Son of Man will come that you do not know. Okay, so there's the Christian persecution, and I could have included persecution of the Jews as well, but specifically Christian Jews. So let's go on, Christians and Jews. Hatred of Christian values. Because of my name, they will hate you. It's hatred because they hate the values, the scriptural values, the mandates of our holy God. Mankind hates by nature. And now the enemy, the dragon, has infiltrated society to the extent that it's so obvious. There was a day, even if certainly all people, let's just use America, I realize they weren't Christians, but they honored Christian values and they honored the church. Even in the days of Billy Graham, I still remember as a kid in the early 60s, Billy Graham, and he always had his ribbon hanging out like that. And he must not have used it much, remember? He would hang it. He would say, the word of God says, and you know what? People didn't question it. They believed it. They believed it. They may not honor everything he says, but boy, when the altar calls were given in those stadium events back then, people would come by the droves because they were convicted, not as much by Billy Graham, but by the Holy Spirit working through the holy word of God. Amen. Amen. And he's still working today. Hatred of Christian values next. These are the conditions Jesus says will be of apostasy, betrayal, and hatred. And at that time, Jesus again is saying this at the Olivet Discord. At that time, what time? The end times. Many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Well, I don't know a better place for people to sow hatred than on the online platforms. I'm just saying, there's people now, they can spread hatred to the millions by the click of a button. And it's spread out there, and that's why these people, they get indoctrinated in this, not only in our universities specifically, but also on the online platforms, and they learn to hate. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to say it to all of you right now, and I'm going to say it in love, and you can say, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I do know what I'm talking about. I would caution you, your online video games as well, because I'm all about, you know, contests and things like that. That's fine. But when you get involved, if anybody you know gets involved in the murderous types of activities that are taking place in these video games, what you're seeing is people are being desensitized. And I'm not a betting man, but if I had $1,000 to bet, and I were a betting man, and I'm not, so don't get too excited, I would bet every school shooter that you see has been ingrained, has been trained, has been steeped in murder on online video games. And now, I'll say he, because it's almost always a he, has to step it up a notch. And now they're going to murder in person, because the game no longer satisfies that wicked passion that's been ingrained in them. You say, well, Pastor, how often does that happen? Well, I've seen commercials for brand new Cadillacs. Beautiful. I mean, if you like Cadillacs. I've never bought one. But somebody is. Somebody buys them because the seeds are being sowed. It's the same with those video games, and I'll move on. I simply tell you in love, use caution. Apostasy, betrayal among family members, betrayal in the church, hatred, apostasy, turning away from the truth. There are things taking place, and I'll use the American church. That's what I know best. That's what I read more than anything. And again, I think those of you that study this thing would agree. There is teaching and there is acceptance in the American church that 30 years ago we would have never believed could possibly enter through the church doors and be preached from the church platforms. Am I right? The great apostasy. Don't think for one second it's not taking place in places around the earth. It is. And so we see those signals and those signs of the great apostasy. Next. Jesus continue on. You're going to see false prophets and deception. Verse 11. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Now, this is always a little tricky because there's a lot of, I'll call them fundamental Christians out there, who don't believe in the prophetic word of God. They don't believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. And so any type of sign, wonder, and miracle preaching that they hear or action that they hear, they're automatically calling that of the devil. I'm sorry, because Jesus is very specific like that. You can be forgiven for blasphemy of Jesus' name, but you cannot be forgiven of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And they're on dangerous grounds. False prophets are around, the point I was making is they call them false prophets. Well, a false prophet is not one who is necessarily wrong on occasion. A false prophet is someone who misleads you away from Jesus Christ. That, by definition, is a false prophet. If they're leading you away from Jesus Christ, if they're leading you away from the tenets of the faith, it's a false prophet. And the deception, Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, when he starts this, and the disciples come to him in verse 3, and he said, you know, Lord, when will these things be? And what's the sign of the coming of your coming? And what will it look like the end of the age? Those three questions we studied a couple weeks ago. What's he saying in verse 4? How does he start it? Do not be deceived. I saw a video. We don't really follow baseball. I think I've told you this before. And we don't really get any live baseball games, but Prime is nice enough to show us the day-old bread, video games from, baseball games from yesterday. And they show the Yankees a lot, so we've kind of taken a liking to watching the Yankees for whatever reason. If you don't like them, that's okay. That's just where we're at. But I saw a video today, and they lost yesterday. They got beat badly, 10-1. And so I saw this video, and it's their coach. Forget his name, but. He's speaking at this news conference afterwards, supposedly, and he's saying all these terrible, terrible, outrageous things against his team. Well, it took me about 1 second to realize this is AI, and they did a really good job, and did anybody see that? You probably don't, because you probably don't watch the Yankees, right? Well, there's no doubt in my mind it was AI, because he would have destroyed his team with those words. They were terrible. So what I'm saying to you is this, but I was reading the comments. I can't believe he's saying this against his team. They must hate him for this. It's like, well, you know, somebody made this up. And don't be deceived. So when you see something online, whether you read something online, understand that that's not a source. It's funny because now our children are being taught in the schools about, I'll call it media. I forget what name they use it. And so I've done a little study on this. And so what these teachers will say is that in order to check your source, you got to go to two sources. So you should go to New York Times and the Washington Post to see what they say. This way they're cross-referencing. Well, yeah. You know, as believers, they're both a bunch of liberal nut jobs in those organizations. You're not cross-referencing anything. You're getting the same word, mimic one from Washington and one in New York. They're saying the same thing. That's not going to work as a cross-reference to find the truth. But the day of deception is here, and it will mislead many. False prophets. Next. Lawlessness and lovelessness. Jesus, in verse 12, because lawlessness is increased. Well, you know, where would I start? Every nation in the world has borders and rules to become a citizen. And rules to enter their country. I've told you before, when Drew and I went over to South Africa, that was on my first trip in 2010. We went with Pastor Daniel. And we went from South Africa into Swaziland. And there were men armed with rifles at the gates. Like, it looked like you were going through a prison gate. And you had to get in and give your passport and, you know, don't step out of line. And they weren't anyway unfriendly, by the way. And we were able to get up into Swaziland. And then we wanted to go, we were preaching in Mozambique is where our goal was. We got to Mozambique, same thing. There's men with rifles, there's a big gate, and you had to produce your credentials. You had to pay them money to get a specific visa before they'd let you in. I don't know if it was a payoff or not. It doesn't matter. We had to go. In fact, they wouldn't let us in because there was a problem with Daniel's car. We had to wait one day. My point is this. There were laws. There's laws. There's laws about nations and borders and travel and traffic. And there's laws that about not assaulting our federal officers that are doing their job as ICE officers, deporting criminals who are in this nation illegally. And we see that the lawlessness is raising up. And we see Antifa at the lead of these wicked things. You see when those Antifa people get arrested, they're starting to arrest them finally. And they cry like little babies because they can no longer hide behind their black mask and among their friends, and begin to get singled out. But lawlessness, you can't watch TV without recognizing lawlessness, and there is a new sheriff in town, and things are beginning to change in this America, thank God, in this city. I saw, you know, what the difference is between, oh, this is going to be frank, with the old administration and this administration, because Portland, Oregon, they don't want these troops walking their streets and enforcing their laws, okay? I get it. But what I see is when these men, this group, walks down the streets, the law-abiding citizens are thanking them. Under the old administration, the law-abiding citizens were afraid, and they needed to be afraid because they didn't honor your values. They honored that administration's values. I'm going to move on. Lawlessness and lovelessness. Most people's love will grow cold, and I've got to say, this is a very unloving age, to be honest with you. Very unloving. I'll just move on. Here we go. Worldwide gospel opportunity. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come. And again, you can research this, and there'll be people who say it's already there. Some say it's not there, and it's not. I'm not here to dispute that, but I do know this. I was out grilling here, it was a couple years ago, and I was looking up in the sky. It was just gotten dark. And here comes these, look like UFOs. But I concluded quickly it was satellites. It was one after another after another after another. It was Starlink. right, in the early days. And I say that because I don't know how far and wide that's able to be accessed, but I will say this. I would argue that the gospel is readily available to nearly every nation, if not every nation on earth today. Okay, conditions, next. The second coming, here we go. This is what you've been waiting for, okay? In yellow up there, here we are, second coming. Jesus, in that same passage, Matthew 24, and there will be great tribulation. We've talked about that many times. That's the last 3.5 years. Such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will be. Unless those days have been cut short, no life would have been saved. But then Jesus continues on down. I'm going to jump down to verse 29 in the same chapter. But he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun, and this looks like something out of the book of Revelation, and it is, which was found in the prophets as well. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven. The powers of heaven will be shaken. And then the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with great power and great glory. It's going to be amazing. I don't plan to be here for that, by the way. But the people that are on earth, the believers who are being persecuted, are going to rejoice. And the earth dwellers are going to hate what they see coming in the clouds. Because now the righteous king is now coming to reign on this earth, finally. Amen. He's going to take charge. He's going to take reins of this earth. Okay. Second coming. We're still going to spend a little time here. So this is the verse I alluded to at the start. I'm back into Hosea. In fact, I read 15 earlier. I'm going to read it again. This is the Lord speaking. I'm going to go away and return to my place. Well, where did Jesus go? Back to heaven, right? For how long? Well, he's been there 2,000 years, right? We okay with that? He's interceding at the right hand of God on behalf of the church. I will go away and return to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. He's talking about Israel. In their affliction, they will earnestly, well, let me tell you what, the time is coming. They are going to be afflicted like never before. We know the days under the Nazi Germany were terrible. It's going to be worse for the Jews during this time. They will earnestly seek me. And this is, so now in verse 1 of chapter 6, this is the Jews' response during that time. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after what? 2 days. He will raise us up upon the third day that we may live for him. And again, we spent time in the book of 2 Peter talking about the day is 1,000 years. This is from the Old Testament in Psalms. It says this, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by. And many students of the Word of God would say, and I would agree with them, that the likely meaning of this is this, that Jesus is going to be a 2,000-year period. I think it fits so beautifully into what the Word of the Lord says, Old Testament and New Testament. Second coming. He is saying he's going to come again. Next. Okay, here we are. Now, I'm going to get you in the book of Revelation. If you have your Bibles, you may want to go there. Maybe it's okay. This is the one chapter that is graphically descriptive of the second coming, what it's going to look like. Again, you students of the Word, I know that you know this already, but we're going to spend a little time here. I want you all to get this, because I'll be honest with you, as much as I love this, I don't want to have to preach this again next year. Because I got to say, it may be sweet as honey, but it's bitter in my stomach to recognize the future of this planet without the church. When God, you know, and a lot of this, what we see happening in Revelation is caused by man, right? It's caused, I believe some of the plagues are probably caused by man. We know that, let's just look at, this happens sometimes when my battery dies, but I don't know if that's happening. I'm seeing, no, it's still green. Well, we know that COVID was man-released, so there's just an example, but the COVID will look like peanuts compared to the plagues that will come upon the face of the earth. But much of this is sent from heaven. Now it's God's turn to begin to judge the earth dwellers, the unbelieving, who refuse to acknowledge God. After these things, Revelation 19, verse 1. This is John speaking. After these things, I heard something like a voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah, there's that word, praise God. That Hallelujah means praise, Yahweh, Hallelujah. Salvation, it's we see it spelled different ways. It's often Alleluia, A-L-L-E-A-U-H, I think. Hallelujah, salvation and glory, power belong to our God. The heavens are rejoicing. Why? Because his judgments are true. Whose judgments? God's. His judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged. Don't miss this. He has judged the great harlot. Wow. We're going to talk about that great harlot in a moment. Who is corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. So the great harlot, whoever that is responsible for the killing of believers through time. And even in the Old Testament, the killing of the prophets, the saints, the prophets that were murdered. Why? The great harlot has been responsible for that for the time of history. So the next slide. I want to talk about this great harlot to give you some. I'm going to take a few moments here, and I have something you may want to look up later, and you can do that on your own time and buy a book. Here's what it says. Now I'm going to back up two chapters because we're going to talk about this great harlot. I can't leave that undone, and it wouldn't make sense to you unless I underscore what that means. Revelation 19, verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, we talked about the seven bowls, these are the last plagues, came and spoke with me saying, come here and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Well, you sit on many waters, you have control over the earth. And I will tell you that this great harlot is almost certainly a false religion, by the way. False religion practices and false religion. Who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth, we call them what? Earth dwellers, right? You're getting this, right? Good. Who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her what? Immorality. The great harlot. It epitomizes false religion. And what that is? Worship of false gods. Anybody but the true God, right? The worship of false gods. Aberrant sexuality, right? Sexuality out of the confines of God's word. Aberrant sexuality and death are always part of the great harlot's religion. Always. You study any of these religions, at the end of the day, what you're going to see, there's going to be a thread of that, and some are more pronounced than others. And that is why when we see what's taking place that began, when it began to uncover itself, no pun intended, in the 60s, what they called the sexual revolution, right? It's now morphed and it's so pervasive. This is all part of false religion that has destroyed the family, that has given children that have no mother or father that wants them, that has caused the abortion of countless millions and millions across the face of the earth. These are little boys and little girls that are precious in his sight that are being murdered wholesale. This is false religion. This is Babylon. This is the great harlot that deceives the whole earth to worship. And that's why, remember, several messages back, one of the purposes of God choosing Israel was to protect and to teach monotheism. Right? To teach us about the living God, one God. And everything else outside of that is part of what the great harlot is referring to. I'm not going to finish this message today, by the way. That's okay. We'll start here next week. I'm not quite done, but I'm almost there. If you get a cake in the oven, you'll be okay. Let's see. So, Revelation 17:5. I just jumped down a couple verses from 1-2. And on her forehead was a name that was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Now you know who we're talking about. The mother of harlots is Babylon the Great. Well, what does that mean? We'll help you with that in a minute. And of the abominations of the earth. And those abominations I just spoke about. There's always murder. There's always sexual immorality. There's always worship of pagan gods and never the true God. Think of Jezebel. Think of Jezebel. Elijah was worshiping and honoring, as were the 7,000 prophets who still remained in Israel. And Elijah was standing up for the one and only true God. And Jezebel brought the pagan prophets into the land and began to train people under child sacrifice and began to cut off and murder godly prophets. 18 verse 7, to the degree that she has glorified herself, this is the harlot, she has lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen. Don't miss that. I sit as a queen and I am not a widow. Well, we know that Israel is divorced, right? Israel, when they separated, it's found in the book of Jeremiah. There's that. Here's this pompous religion, if you will, and they say, oh, we have a queen of heaven. Well, I'm going to say something here. I want to be careful because this is about, I'll talk about the Catholic Church here. And I'm 100% convinced there's many good Christian people in the Catholic Church. Okay, I hope you don't mind me saying that, but I know some of them. What I'm here to talk about is the religion of the Catholic Church that starts back during the time mainly of Constantine, right? And if you study, there's a book, it's by a man named Alexander Hislop, H-I-S-L-O-P, H-I-S-L-O-P. And I think it's called The Two Babylons, Woman Rides the Beast. And I'm sorry, I forget, maybe it's a combination of those names. The Two Babylons, or A Woman Rides the Beast. I can see you can find it now on Amazon. I read that 20 years ago. I had to go online, and a library down in Lancaster had, I didn't go online, I forget how I got the research. Maybe I went to the library. And they said, there's one in Lancaster. So they sent it up to me, to the Winsport Library, this 25 years ago, and I read it. It's compelling. You would want to see that, because there's roots in there, including the Queen of Heaven. Well, who does the Catholic Church say the Queen of Heaven is? It's Mary. Yeah, it's Mary. So what you see is an allusion to the Catholic Church. I believe that's the most likely reference here. I'm not a widow. Okay, here we go. So let's talk about this. Next slide. Where did I put on here next? So he continues on. Oh, so this great harlot has finally been judged. Well, we're going to talk about this right here. This is good. I put this in correct order. That's nice. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of the mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah. There's that word again. Praise Yahweh. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Some of you say, well, he already reigns. Yeah, I believe that's true. But you look at the face of the earth, it's not fully evident, but now he's going to judge. He's going to judge the earth dwellers. He's going to judge the great harlot. In fact, you know how he judges the great harlot? The beast and the false prophet turn on false religion. They finally get rid of religion as well. Because why? Because the beast wants to be worshipped. So they're going to allow this religious, whatever's going on, up to a point, and then they're going to take them out too. Anyway. Our God reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Who's the bride? Okay. Verse 8, and was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And there I'm taking you back to 2 weeks ago, to the judgment seat of Christ that's referenced in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 3. You put them together and you'll see that the church is going to stand before Christ. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged what we have done in the body, for good or for bad. You say, well, have my sins not been forgiven? No, that's not it at all. This isn't a sin judgment. You were cleansed as a believer by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's taken care of. But it's simply going to say, what have you done for the kingdom of God to perpetuate? What have you done as an act of love to mankind? That's going to count. I'm just going to say it's count, not to cheapen it. Okay. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God, Revelation 19, verse 8. I have one more slide. I'm going to miss it. What's the next slide? No, I'm not going to do that one. This would actually be a good place to start next week, because this is when Jesus Christ comes back to earth with his armies on horses. Do you know how to ride a horse? You're going to have to learn. You're going to have to learn. So they made us ride them in the academy. And some people weren't very proficient at it. I wasn't great. But you had to learn very quickly. We're going to be coming on white horses with him. Wow. What a day that's going to be. I can't wait. Worship team, please come up. We're going to finish this up. I'm still in verse 19. I'm going to read while they're getting placed. Verse 3. In fact, verse 1. After these things, I heard, as it were, a loud voice of multitude in heaven saying, say it with me, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our Lord. That means praise God, right? Because his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot who is corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they said, hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down, and they worship God who sits on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters and the sound of the mighty peals of thunder saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Wow. That's all part of the second coming. And it's coming. It's coming. I don't care if you're a boy or girl, a teenager, an older adult like me. It doesn't matter. We live in fascinating times. We live in amazing times. We live in times like the generations before us only dreamed of. I always thought it's just the old people always say Jesus is coming because they're afraid to die. Okay, well, maybe that was the truth. I don't know if that's true or not. But I do say this. I see things lining up. And you better be ready. I'm just going to preach this to you. You better be ready to meet Jesus Christ. Amen? We better be ready. That's my responsibility. It's my privilege to say those words. Be ye ready, for as such a time as you think not, the Son of Man is coming. Amen? And if you do not know him, if you've never met Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, do not wait another minute. Amen? Amen. Please stand with us. We're going to sing hallelujah. God, we thank you for your presence in the house today. God, I thank you, God. We thank you as a church for the opportunity to worship you. Thank you that we have breath in our lungs, a voice in our being to praise you because you are worthy of all of our praise. So, God, as we sing this hallelujah, praise Yahweh belongs to you, and you alone are worthy of our praise. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The altars are open up front. If you need someone to pray or have questions, please come up. Pastor Sherry, one of the elders, they'd be glad to meet with you. Sing with us.
Hallelujah.
that's a good warm-up for all of you. Not that you need it, but to learn the words. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. He's redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you for the love that was poured out in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for our salvation. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit that indwells us as believers. Thank you, God, that you have sealed us, you have saved us, and you will bring us through difficult times and take us to you, that where you are, we may be there also, you told us. Thank you, Father. We bless you, praise you, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. If you'll be seated just for one moment, one or two things to share with you, then we will send you on your way safely to your homes. Thanks for being in the house of the Lord today. I just love to worship with all of you. We as a team, we as a church, we're just glad to join together. We're so blessed in so many ways. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Couple things. One thing's not on the screen. I want to tell you the life chain today. Boy, as many things, we certainly as a church, if you had any question, especially after that message, we are pro-life. 100%. We are so, it's like, we support our local pregnancy care centers, one in Lewisburg/Williamsport, one right here in Jersey Shore. And there is it's called the Life Chain. It's been going on for many years. It'll be on the strip today, 2:30 to 3:30. I know Peggy and Katie are planning to go, and Peggy is seated over here about midway there against the aisle. Peggy, raise your hand. If you have questions about that, please see her after the service. But that's going to be taking place on the Golden Strip in Williamsport. So please consider attending that. Next Wednesday, remember we changed our time to 6 o'clock. We'll be praying from approximately 6 to 6:30. We get right down to business on this time frame, and I'll tell you why on the next slide. But please come prepared to pray. Pray for your communities. Pray for your families. Pray for the nation. Pray for the church. Pray for your friends. Pray for the leaders of the church. Pray for your government. Just pray. Pray for your school boards and school districts. 6 o'clock, because right after that is the next installment. Now showing it here at LifeTree, Jonathan Kahn uncovering the avatar. This will be the second in that series. And so please, that'll be starting around 6:30 or so. But when we're done praying, when the Lord says it's time to finish our prayer session, we'll go into this video and we'll get the next installment. So we're normally done 7:30 or somewhere in there, but please consider coming. Next. Okay, here we go. Operation Christmas Child. You're going to get it every week until we're done, so we're not. And these cards are on the Welcome Center back there. They put these together. These are ideas that they have to bless children across the world with a gift of love from America, from the American church. Please consider giving to that. We do that every year, and I'm thankful for the leaders in this church that continue to push that forward. So I think that's it. Okay, that's it. Okay, please stand. The words of the Apostle Paul, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all always. Amen. We love you guys. You're dismissed.